I don't know if it's on, though. I might need help. Okay, yep, it's on. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me back. You know, if they have you back, you've done a pretty good job. And so I think I've been here two other times, but it's been a privilege. One of the things I will say is that there's always there in the worship, there's such a sweet presence. Amen. And that's what we need. How many know we need uplifting? Amen. I'm all about being corrected. The Word of God will do that. And God will correct you because He loves you. But there's something about the presence of God. Amen. Amen. It brings us to higher places. It brings us into liberty. And I'm so thankful for the presence here. And you know, that presence comes actually out of us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. It resides in us. And as we begin to worship the Lord, it's released into the atmosphere. Oh, and I felt it. How many like that feeling? Amen. It's called the anointing of God.
Praise God.
And it's the very thing at 13 years old that radically changed my life. And today this message that I want to share with you is, it's in the middle of it all. God is in the middle of it all.
Amen.
Amen. And especially for believers, if you're here today and you're born again, guess what? He couldn't get in the middle of it more. He lives in you. God is on the inside of you if you're born again. And I can honestly say, you can go anywhere you want to, and He don't leave you. Because He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. And He means that. When God makes the covenant, you may have went wayward, you may have went south, but He went with you. And how many have heard, you can't outrun God. So today, if you're in here and you're not right with God, and what I mean by that is, you know, the righteousness of God is just that. It's God's righteousness. He makes you right. You can't make yourself right, but you can walk outside of that. You can do what you will to do still because you have a will. And when you do that, God doesn't leave you. Now, many people get messed up with that, but it's true because I can tell you at 13 years old, I got born again. And God came on the inside. Something changed on the inside of me. How many know I look the same on the outside, though? You know, same. But on the inside, something happened. And honestly, you can't explain that to anybody that's not born again.
That's right.
But when you get born again, it is an experience that needs to happen for you to enter into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's when God became the center of my life. He was on the inside of me. But I can honestly say for probably 7 years, I didn't serve God. But I know He was in me because I still had the witness. Whoever is born of God has the witness on the inside of himself. Amen. He would tell me things that weren't right, but I wouldn't listen. How many know I should have listened? I got myself into a whole lot of trouble because I didn't listen. But then there was a day of complete surrender where I said, Lord, I give you everything that I have is yours. And I meant that. I was willing. Amen. When you get willing, God can. But until you get willing, God won't, because He will not override your will. Now, God's still God, okay? But if you want Him to be in the middle of your life, you have to submit your will to Him. And when you do that, everything, you make God a part of everything in your life. Most people don't do that. Most people don't, but they can if they want to. See, God is in the middle of everything. As I preach this message today, you'll see that God will never leave you nor forsake you. When I was 13, He didn't leave me, but I forsook Him. How many know Peter forsook him? How many all the disciples forsook him? How many know he didn't forsake them, though? Amen? I mean, Peter said, I'm going fishing, but he was supposed to be a fisherman of men. He was supposed to get souls saved. That was the goal. God was creating him into a fisherman of men, but he says, I'm going back to fish. I'm going to fish outside of the will of God. You know what Jesus did? Jesus went after him. Why? Because He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will say this boldly. If you are born again, you're ruined to sin. What I mean by that is this. You can never sin again and be happy about it. You know why? You've been born again. You have on the inside, you have Almighty God. Do we realize how much power is on the inside of us? If you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the same authority. Now, people get messed up with this. You have authority because God has given you authority. But if we put God in the center of it all, we would learn that we have that authority. We have the same ability as Christ when He was on the earth. Now, we need to grow into that, okay? We extremely need to grow into that. But He is in the middle of it all. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to put that out there at front, because at 13, I was running. I was doing my own thing. I was running a football a lot, to be honest with you, at the time. Had a lot of success with that, but then that ended up not working out. And guess what? I was depressed. I thought, what am I going to do in my life? And you know what? He was right there. He was right there. Right when I got my lowest point, he was there. And you know what he did? He lifted me up. He said, I got a plan. I got a purpose for you. But then I put him in the middle of it all. And then things started to take off for me. And I am so glad that I did. I want to read this to you in Psalms 46, verse 1. Says this, David writes, he says, God is our refuge and strength. How many know he is strength? He is strength. A very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. He is your refuge. He is your strength. And if you're right now, you're in the midst of trouble. And many times that trouble could be financial trouble. It could be your health. You're in trouble. It's not going well. How many know he's in the very midst of it? God is in the very midst of it. You can read through the Bible, and those that put him in their lives, he was right in the middle of it. You know, the Israelites, many of times they rejected their own Messiah, did they not? But he desired to be in the middle of it all. God's greatest desire is you. God's greatest desire is me. You know why I know that? He was willing to give up everything to purchase you. Everything. One guy said he bankrupted heaven to purchase you. He gave his very best. Why? Because you were that important, that valuable to God. You've been bought. I've been bought. You've been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Why? So you could be in the family. Amen? Amen. How many know it's truly about family?
Amen.
It is a kingdom, but it's family. Every family's through blood. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Through the blood of Jesus. So if you're in trouble right now, whether it's financial trouble, I'm here to tell you, God's there. He's with you. But the issue is we don't acknowledge him in those areas. If you will acknowledge him in your finances and do what he says and do it his way, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. That works in finances. That works in your health. That works in every area. Put the word of God, what he said, in the middle of your life and watch the word of God work. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
See, most Christians, they get saved, and I say that because I am a pastor and I do observe, I watch people's lives. The ones that put God first in their finances, they don't lack. They put God in the middle of it. If they tithe, God takes care of them. I've seen it time and time again. What are you doing? You're putting God in the middle of it. See, he's right there the whole time, but will we put him in the middle of it? How many know who King David is in the Bible? I'm sure you do. King David was an amazing man of God. He had a heart after God. Now, how many know that King David most of the time put God in the middle of everything? Most of the time. How many remember the one time he did not put God in the middle of it all? Yes, he got in big trouble. He was supposed to be at war, should have been out fighting the battle. Kings go out to wartime. He should have been fighting the battle. How many of you know David was a warrior? Man, this guy was amazing. I'll tell you what, if you could find a director that could actually do a movie about King David, his life at war, it would be an amazing movie. Amazing movie, because if you're a man like me in here, you know, we like those kind of movies, action movies. What an action movie it'd be. And you know what you'd find out? That every battle that David went out to fight, he won. Every one. There was never a battle that he didn't win. Not one time. Not one time. And you know what? Even after he failed miserably with the act of Bathsheba, he committed adultery, murder, and then, you know, he just did it all one shot. You know what? God still was with him. God did not forsake him. If you're here today and you think, well, I sin, surely God has forsaken me. He didn't forsake David. He didn't forsake David. See, here's the thing about God. He's the only one that truly knows your heart. And he wants to be in the middle of it. You make bad decisions sometimes, so do I. But you know what? He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He'll be right there. You know why? Because the Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. He does not leave. The Bible says there's not one of them that could snatch out of his hand. Now, I'm not here to debate anything. Pastor could correct me later if I'm wrong. That's fine. I don't know it all. But I can honestly say this. If you're born again, If you're a born-again believer, you don't desire to sin. You don't, on the core of you. See, when you got born again, your spirit got born again. Spiritually, you became a brand new creation, brand new. And I'm going to say this, and some people don't like it when preachers say this, but I'm going to say it because I know the Word of God. Your spirit does not sin. Your flesh sins. Your spirit, when you got born again, is not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. The Bible says this, the desire of the righteous is only good. Who are the righteous? We. Believers become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You don't have the desire to sin in your spirit, but your flesh wants to sin all the time. Your flesh, about 200 pounds for me. About 200 pounds. Don't look it, but it's there. 200 pounds. I'm telling you. My son's going, yep, it's there. He needs to lose some weight. But anyway, your flesh has desires, passions. But on the core of you, the desire of the righteous is only good. You know why? Because on the inside of you, the core of you, he made you brand new. But here's the reason why you need to renew your mind. Because we'll never see a difference unless you get the Word of God and begin to act on it. There are believers out there, and for me to judge them to say they'll go to heaven or hell is not for me to do, and I'm so glad about that. God will take care of that. But he knows who are his. Amen? You know, once again, when I was 13, there was times where I was like, God, don't come back now, because I'm not living right. You know what told me that? My spirit. I've been born again. Now, there's people that hadn't been born again. They could give a rip if God came back because they're not believers. They don't know. They don't have the witness on the inside of themselves. But at 13, people start talking about the rapture, and I'm here to tell you, it's real close. It's real close. If you get into Matthew chapter 20, I believe it's 20, it talks about 10 virgins. There was 10. I'm getting a little bit off my notes, but I think it's good. I think it's good. I think I'm going the right direction here. But there was 10 virgins, 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. Amen. 5 of them, the Bible says, they were wise and they had oil in their lamps. What did that oil represent? It represents one thing that I know of, Pastor. It represents the oil of the Holy Spirit. Do you have a relationship with God? Now, everybody that's in here is born again. You are in the family of God. You're right in the middle of it. God doesn't look at one person and value another person more than another because we're blood bought. We're in the family of God. But I will say this. There was 5 that had no oil in their lamps. Here's what I believe. And people can debate this differently, and I'm not here to debate. I'm just here to share what's on my heart for you to have confidence before God. How many know the Bible says we should have confidence in his coming? Now, how many of you are confident in your coming, in yourself, in his coming? You're like, you've done it all right? You've never missed it? No. Everybody in here's missed it. But in the relationship with God, the difference is this. I heard Nathan preaching on this earlier. That when you get into sin, you're real quick to say, Heavenly Father, that is not your will. Why? Because you have a witness on the inside. You keep the relationship with God. You keep it very sound, very close. Why? Because you want him in the middle of everything. You know, when I get into sin, which I do sometimes, now sin can be many different things, okay? It's not just lust. How many know that gossip is sin? You know how you get into gossip? Your mind starts thinking bad things about people. Things that you know that are truth about the people. How many of you know that's sin in God's eyes? It's just as sinful as any other lust. So to be honest with you, if God opened it up to a place on the inside and showed everything that you sinned, boy, you would just be so low you couldn't even hardly get through a day. But God doesn't do that. But God does reveal the sin in your life. Why? Because in that relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the oil, when you come to church, that is a clear indication that you want more from God. You desire the relationship with God. How do I know that? He says, do not forsake the assemblies of yourselves together. So when we get together, the Holy Spirit comes, and that relationship with God is healthy. Amen? 5 of them had oil, and 5 of them didn't. When the trumpet sounded, only 5 went. Why? Because they were the ones that were truly born again and had a relationship with God. Can you say amen? Now, the relationship with God is between you and God. Amen? So put him in the middle of your life in every area. If you sin, the Bible says this. A righteous man falls seven times, but seven times he what? He gets back up. How many have got up a lot? Yeah, I mean, you fall down, you get back up. That's just natural. Watch a baby. That's what they do. They fall down, they get back up. They fall down, they get back up. But guess what? Pretty soon they start walking. You know what happens with us? Pretty soon we start walking in righteousness. We start living right. Why? Because of the relationship with God. Why? Because we put him in the middle of everything. Put him in the middle of your marriage. Watch what happens. Not your way. Do it God's way. Watch how well the relationship begins to go. Put him in the middle of everything in your life and watch it prosper. God wants people's marriage to prosper, but you know what the problem is? We get outside of God's will. Individually. Amen? Am I preaching real good to myself today or what? I love the Word of God. You know why? Because that's where freedom comes. When you know the Word of God, it'll set you free. Let me read this in Psalms 23, verses 1 through 6. David wrote this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." How many can use a restored mind? Amen. Amen. Me, I'm still working on that. "He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He's in the middle of it all. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. So I don't know what you're going through in life or where you're at, but no matter whether you're playing football, things get tough, doesn't seem like it's working out, you're not winning games, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's at your job, and this thing's going to trip me in a minute if I don't be careful. Maybe it's at your job and things, somebody in the workplace is giving you trouble. You know what? Put God in the middle of it. Amen. Amen? Put him, be kind to those that are mean and nasty. You said, boy, that's tough. It's not easy. You know what it's not easy on? Your flesh. You know your spirit is willing. Your flesh is weak. Every time you get into error and I get into error, it's because of your flesh. Let me prove it to you. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. The only reason why you sin is because of your flesh, your carnal thinking. Somebody does something wrong to us, we're going to pay him back. That's not the way God does it. But naturally, in our flesh, we just want to do that. But if we walk in the love of God, guess what? Then in the middle of it all, we can allow God to use us. No matter where we're at, and no matter what situation you're in, look to him. Amen? Amen. How many know the attitude? It's real easy to get a bad attitude about things sometimes. I have to work on it all the time. Hey, if you're married, you got to work on it. Amen? Amen. But I do have a good marriage because I put God in the middle of it. You know why? Because I didn't at one time, but now I am. And then you know what? I'm figuring out it works out with God. Amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Who's going through a tough time right now, honestly? He's with you. He is in the middle of all that. And the amazing thing of it is that in the middle of it, if you'll trust God through it, watch him work a miracle. It may take some time, but he will turn that thing around, and it's going to be the awe moment. You're going to go, I'm in awe of how you did that, God. If you will put him in the middle of it, that worked time and time again for David, did it not? How many remember a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Yeah, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the greatest story ever told for little kids, because you got these three guys that get thrown into a fire, and they don't burn. You need to read the story. It's an amazing story. I think it's in Daniel chapter 3 if you read it. Read through the story, and basically what happens is King Nebuchadnezzar, he makes this big idol, and he pretty much says that everybody's going to worship this idol. How many know we're getting to the place where that's where the world's coming to? How many know it says there's the mark of a beast coming and there's a guy called the Antichrist coming? Guess what? It's closing in. And it says if you take that mark, that's the same thing for them. If they don't bow down, it's the same thing. You know what? The devil does the same way. He works the same way every single time. He doesn't change. He's always making sure that he tempts you with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's how he's a tempter. And he wants to be God. It's what he wanted to be from the beginning. So he tells these young people, unless, I believe they were young, personally, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like me. I'm 50, but I'm young. My wife says, we're not young, but we're not old. So we're in between. That's a good place to be. But he tells them that they're going to bow down or he's going to throw them in the fiery furnace. I'm not going to go through the details. But guess what? They put God in the middle of their lives. And they said this, even if you throw us in the fire, we will not bow down and worship your God. Will not. How many know in your life, you need to say that sometimes, we will not. We're standing for what God says. We're putting God in the middle of it. You know what? The Bible says that when they would not bow down and they would not worship the idol, it says that he stoked up the fire 7 times hotter. Like that was going to intimidate them anymore. You know, that's what the enemy likes to do. Look at your problem. Look what you're going through right now. It's so bad. How could this ever work out? Put God in the middle of it. It'll work out for you just like it did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. He didn't love them anymore. He loves you. The issue is we need to realize how much God loves us. When we do that, fear will just go. How do I know that? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. When you know God loves you and he's in the middle of your situation, you'll get to a place where, God, if you love me, I'm going to be okay. It's going to work out. I trust you. I found this out. I know I'm saying a lot, but I'm a preacher. It just comes rolling out. But I found this out, that my faith increases when I know how much God loves me. When I know that God would give his only begotten son for me, that increases my faith that there's nothing else he wouldn't do because he already did the greatest thing ever. Faith works through love. Your faith is going to go up so much, you're going to be able to believe God for any situation when you know how much God loves you. Does that make sense? It says faith works through love. So when I know how much God loves me, I don't have to live in fear. I believe Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego knew that. So when they were thrown in the fire, the Bible says this. They threw them right in the middle of the fire, and they began to look in there, and they were not burning. How many believe if they would have not put God first, they would have burned in that fire? Their faith was at a level, it doesn't matter what you do. Even if we're thrown in the fire and we die, we will not bow. You know, that's what the church needs to be right now in the earth. Why? Because that's when revival will break out. That's when miracles will start happening, because God likes to take us right to the edge before he shows up. And when faith arises, miracles start to happen. And you may need a miracle, but I'm telling you, if you hold fast to your faith, the miracle will happen. Why? Because God cannot lie. God has never lied to anybody. You know, right from the beginning, the devil's still speaking the same things. He lied to Eve right from the beginning. Surely if you eat from that, you won't die. How many know God was right? He did not lie. He told the truth. But on the opposite hand, when you trust him in the middle of it, no matter what it is, he cannot lie. The promises of God are yes and amen, right in the middle of whatever you're going through. Think of this, Abraham, Sarah, 100 years old. She was 90 years old. He was 100. You know what? They had a baby at 100 years old. He was 100. That just can't happen. You know why that happened? They put God in the middle of it. You know, they got a little outside of it a little bit. They got Ishmael. How many know who Ishmael was? That was not the will of God. It happened. How many know in your life you got a few Ishmaels too? But God doesn't leave you nor forsake you. Oh, Pastor, so many times I had been in my sin, hurting. Say, God, free me. And he says, I already have set you free. You just haven't learned how to be free. Everybody in here is set free, but as we begin to learn and grow in the grace of God, he begins to set us free. And that's what he wants from you. Put him in the middle of it. If you have an addiction, put him in the middle of it. And you say, well, I tried that once. Do it again. Try it again. Put him in the middle. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start walking, and you're going to walk a little further, and then you're going to stumble. Then you're going to walk a little further, and then you're not going to stumble anymore. Why? Because you put God in the middle of it all. Is this making sense today? It's so simple, but if we would just do it, say, God, I'm driving home today. I'm going back to Oregon. Lord, keep us safe. Protect us. Be a shield about us. What did I just do? I put him right in the middle of it. Why? Because that we need to put God in the middle of everything. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen when we walk out of this church. You don't want to know. You want to know why I know that? It's because Samuel James Moy, my nephew, over 2 months ago, breathed his last breath because he got hit by a drunk driver. But I'm here to tell you he's in heaven today. He was a born-again believer. He had a tattoo on his hand, his elbow, that said, "It is finished." You know what? He put God in the middle of his life to a degree, like we all do. You know, I can't say that I always put God in the middle of everything, but more and more as I do that, God's in the middle of it. How many know when he got hit by that drunk driver, he was with Jesus just like that? Even in death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Why, he put God in the middle of it. And you know what? Because of the mercy of God, he's in heaven today. Amen? If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that is the most important thing anybody could ever do in their life. There's no greater decision to say, "God, come into my life." Notice that he says that he wants to be on the inside of us, live with us, dwell with us. He wants to be in the middle of it all. But here's what happens. Because we have a free will, we can say, "No, that really makes sense, Pastor. It's really talking to me, but I'm not ready for that. I don't want that. I want to do this right now. This is my desire. This is my dream." You have a dream, maybe? Let me tell you something. God's dreams are far bigger than what you could ever imagine. I'll be honest with you. I thought, man, I'm playing in the NFL, and you're looking at me, "That guy's not going to play in the NFL. He is way too small." I thought with all my heart, "I can play. I can do it. I can make it." You know, that wasn't God's will for me, and I'm totally okay with that. You know why? Because at one time it was my dream, but it was never God's plan. Never God's plan for me. It was a part of my life for an extent. But to be honest with you, Pastor, I didn't know how to decipher between the two of them. I tried to play football, continue when I was serving God, but here's what the Lord told me. See, I put football as a god. I put it as a god. I mean, it was the most important thing in my life. And when I started serving God, I still tried to play football. Some of you, this may make sense. It may not to some of you. It's okay. It does to me. But what would happen is, as I began to play football, go to college and stuff, it was always about me. I don't know why. It was always about me, how good I could be, how many yards I could run for, how many touchdowns I could get. And it just brings self-glory to me. I didn't know how to decipher between the two. And I found this out. It's because I made football a god. You know what God says about that? "I'll have no other gods before me. I am a jealous God." See, I put it so high, he said, "You'll never play that, but you know what you will do? You'll preach the gospel." Amen? And I'm totally okay with that. You know why? Because I'm entirely on the winning team now. Amen? I'm on the side of seeing people almost every other week getting born again at our church. Almost every other week coming into the kingdom of God. And you know what? That's the greatest touchdown that could ever happen. So if you're here today, before this service is over, I encourage you. I plead with you. Make him Lord of your life. Only as the Spirit of God can draw you. But as the drawing, as the pulling comes, don't resist it. Because the greatest thing I ever did was make him Savior of my life and Lord of my life. I remember at 13 years old, God was just pulling on my heart. And I'll tell you what I did, Pastor. I went to the bathroom. I was like, "God is in that church about this size." I said, "God is in that building. I am going to the bathroom. And I'm going to wait until the service is over. And I'm leaving." Guess what I found out? God is in the bathroom too. He's in the middle of it all. Because when I went down there, the presence of God was so strong on me, just loving me. It convicted me of my sin, but loving me at the same time. How do you know it's God? When he loves you right in the middle of it. He wasn't telling me you're a terrible person, but the sin was there, and he had to do something with it. I got born again at 13. I told you that earlier. And I never regretted it. I can tell you there's a lot of things I have regretted, even since then. Why? Because I got outside of the will of God. I didn't put God in the middle of it. And I got outside of it. I had to repent from it and get back up and keep walking. But I never regretted making Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Never. And I can tell you, you won't either. But on the other side, if you do reject him, There will be a time. We are in the dispensation of grace right now. We are in grace right now. This is the time to get in. Right now. And I don't know where you're at, but I always want to make sure that heaven is full and hell is empty. Amen? So by the end of this service, hopefully you put God in the middle of it all. Amen? I have a few more scriptures here. Let me read this to you in Psalms 139, verse 8. David said this, "If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." So you say, you mean God's in hell? What David is saying, I've been through hell. How many have ever been through hell? Some of you probably say, I'm going through hell right now. Guess what? He's there. He's there. But when we don't acknowledge him, see, faith acknowledges God, does it not? Faith puts God in the middle. If you would acknowledge him right in the middle of it and hold fast and stay in faith, you would see God turn it around. How many in here, by a show of hands, that God's turned something around in your life by a miracle? Look at the hands. It's almost everybody in here. If he did it once, he'll do it again. That's how he works. If he did it once, he'll do it again. But hold fast, stay in faith. I say this quite a few times. I'll say it again. Anybody can believe God for one day. Amen? How many have believed God for one day? I can do that. How many can believe God for a week for something to change in your life? I could do that. Abraham waited 25 years. You know what happened, though? He grew in his faith. He stayed in faith. How many know the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight? Doesn't look good, but I'm still walking. Who am I walking with? I'm walking with God. Amen? He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, so I'm stayed in faith. God can change it in one day. He can turn it all around. Amen? Put him in the middle of it all. See what happens. You may be going through the valley of shadow death. He's there. You make your bed in hell. He's there. God is there. You know, I remember a time in my life that, hardest time in my life that I was weeping before the Lord. You know, it could have been some of my mistakes why I was there. Maybe not. Sometimes it's you, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the enemy, amen, and just the world. Sometimes we dig a hole and jump in it. Guess what? God's there. But anyway, I was at that place, and I was just weeping before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And you know what I knew? I knew he was there. I knew it. Did everything change right then? Here's what changed, my heart. I was okay with it in that time. Why? Because I gave him time and put him in the middle of it. Sometimes God won't change it right there, but it's enough to know that he's there. Amen? Amen. It's enough to know that he's there. Lord, are you with me? Then I'll be okay. Has it changed yet? No, but you're with me. And boy, it was just a place where I knew you won't leave me nor forsake me. Amen? Does that make sense? If it doesn't now, it will later. Because you'll get to that place to where you'll be there. God leads us to places like that. Somebody said, God doesn't lead you. God doesn't tempt people. Wait a minute. He brought Jesus into the desert, did he not, to be tempted by Satan? Did he not do that? It says that he was led by the Spirit. See, some of these situations that you were in, you were doing everything right. You weren't doing it wrong. God led you right into it. He led you right into the giants. Amen? How many know with David? He was there. Look how confident David was in the middle of all that. Why? He knows my God is with me. This guy's going down. We can increase to that place. We can live there. How many believe that? If you don't, I'll just keep preaching until you do. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's why you need to come to church and hear your pastor. Why? Because then faith comes. That's the only way to get faith that I know of. Seeing somebody else's miracle, they'll be like, wow, that's pretty cool. But until you get a word on it, until you get faith for yourself, you may not see the same miracle. You got to believe the word of God. Amen? Here's the Apostle Paul writing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Listen to what he says here. Now, the Apostle Paul, he would go into places, to the Gentiles. How many know that Paul was a Jew? He was a Jew, but he was called to the Gentiles. Now, he preached to Jews also, but he was called as an apostle to the Gentiles. That would be me. That would probably be you. If you're not Jewish, it'd probably be you. So when he set out, he's writing here and he's saying something that I think is in great importance, because sometimes you don't think anybody's with you. Well, I'm all alone. No, you're not. Not if you're a believer, you're not alone. You're never alone. Look what he writes here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." That means there was nobody ministering to him. One time, a guy named Mark, I believe it was, left him. Right in the middle of ministry, they said, "This is too tough, I'm leaving." How many know that tough times happen? He says this, "May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully." He was going to preach the gospel through me, "and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered." Listen what happened, because he put God in the middle of it all. "I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
So Paul, he's like me right now. He's out preaching the gospel. He's going into places that nobody's ever gone before, and he's preaching a gospel that's totally different than anything they've probably ever heard before. He's preaching about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And there was people that were with him, but they left him. Now, emotionally, he was probably like, okay, nobody's with me. But you know what happened? I believe the Holy Spirit quickened him, and the Lord said, "I'm with you." That's what I know. When I preach, I know he's with me. If nobody says amen, I know he's with me. I know the power of God still works. I remember when I first started preaching. I don't know, I'm kind of preaching a long time here, but is it good? We good? I remember the first time I preached a message, one of them was in Eureka, California. I was a youth pastor at the time. I was preaching to these 13 young youth, and I got done, and I just thought to myself, that was the most horrible message I've ever heard in my life, and I preached it. And I went for a walk because I was depressed about the whole situation. And I knew God called me. He showed me a miracle. I mean, he gave me a dream that he had called me in to preach the gospel. I knew it. And me and God went for a walk, and I had a talk with him. I said, "God, why did you call me to do this?" I said, "I'm horrible. Those kids didn't understand anything I said. They got nothing." You know what the Lord said to me? He said, "Did you think this was about you?" And I went, "Okay, all right, I got it. It's not about me looking good. It's not about me preaching eloquent. It's about me preaching the gospel." Paul preached the gospel. Some cities he went into, they rejected him. They stoned him. How many of you know if you were stoned, you'd be like, "I'm done preaching the gospel"? I think that's why some of the dudes left him, because they were like, "This guy's going to get stoned. He's crazy. This guy's a radical for Jesus. If we go with him, we're going to get killed." That's exactly what I think was happening. You know what he said? "The Lord's with me." Let me tell you, the Lord's with you. He doesn't care about the Apostle Paul any more than you. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you may be a little finger, but you're a part of it. You matter to God. Put him in the middle of it. Only you can do that. Only I can do that. How do we do that? By faith. Faith puts him in the middle of it. Faith says, "I believe no matter what I see. For I walk not by sight, but I walk by faith." Amen? I already said earlier, he walks with you. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He'll be with you. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He'll be with you. He's with David. He'll be with you. Why? He's no respecter of persons. I have two more verses. I don't want to say one and lie to you, okay? A lot of preachers lie. They say, "I'm closing." My son says, "You're one of them. I've seen you do it." Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Seek first God in every area of your life. And guess what? When he's not first place, put him first place again. That makes sense? So many times we get distracted and we say, "Oh, God, I put you in your proper place. I put you in the middle of it all." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen?
Amen.
Acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Our own understanding. Listen, I can honestly say this. I'm not a very smart person. You say, but that's not a good confession. You know what? God's wisdom is much better than any natural man's understanding. That's why He says, lean not on your own understanding. Your situation right now, if you go, how did I get here? Why is it like this? How can I change it? Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Here's what I know. God's working. Amen. God is the behind-the-scenes God. He never shows you at first. You have to believe for it. Then He brings it to pass. How do I know that? He calls things that be not as though they were. You need to trust God that He'll turn it around. Amen?
Amen.
Just trust Him. Stay in faith. If you're in faith, stay in faith. Because what's happening is the enemy's trying to get you out of faith. Stop believing God. That stuff's not true. That's a lie. That's a fairy tale. That's how he talks. It'll never happen for you. No, it'll happen for me. Why? Because God loves me. He cares for me. Amen? Amen. One more. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And my last little note here is repentance puts God first. Did you hear that? Repentance puts God first. What does it mean to repent? It doesn't just mean say, God, forgive me, and keep going the same direction. How many have done that? Let's be honest. I got both hands up. God, forgive me. A week later, you're doing the same thing. Why? Because you didn't put God in the middle of it. You went left, He went right. He told you to go right, and you went left. But here's what you can do. Say, God, forgive me, but I repent. And give me the strength I need to live according to your word. Amen?
Amen.
Here's what I found out. I cannot do it on my own. Impossible. I mean, even if I get up in the morning and go, I'm going to do right today, boy, I'm going to will up. My willpower is great enough. Nope, it's not. It's not. Humility causes you to repent. How many can say, I need God? That's your humility. What does humility do? It will always cause you to repent. Always. It brings you to a place of repentance, of putting God first. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you an opportunity. I would never want to leave a church without giving you an opportunity. It'd be a disjustice to you and the whole kingdom. But if you're here today, I'm not asking anybody to bow their heads. I want you to be very bold. If God is speaking to your heart today, I want you to respond quickly to what He's spoken to your heart. If you respond quickly in faith, it won't give the devil an opportunity to snatch it from you. But if you're here today and you've never made the Lord Jesus Christ Savior and Lord today and you would like to, would you please raise your hand right where you're at? Look on both sides. Anybody at all? Now here's what I assume. I'm assuming that everybody in here is in the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm assuming, because I don't know your heart, only you and God do. Only God knows the heart of a person, whether you're saved or not. If you're born again, you know you're born again. And you know you have a desire to do what's right. But if you're not, one more time, if you're here today and you say, today is my day, I'm going to make a step of faith. Would you raise your hand? Look at both sides. Amen. That actually really excites me. You'd say, well, don't you want somebody to get born again? I'm just expecting that everybody's in the family. Amen? Because when the word goes out, God does the work on a person's heart. I can leave here today and say, oh, nobody got saved today. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not moved by any of that. You know why? Because the word works.
Amen.
But if you are here today, next call, and you say, I haven't put God in the middle of my life. He's not Lord. I am saved, but in every area of my life, and this would probably be all of us, to be honest with you. I probably could raise my hand. But what this does is it causes you to repent and get to a place to where the peace of God comes again. If you're here today and you haven't been in peace, it's because something you're not putting God in the middle of it. Listen, He gives perfect peace to those whose mind stays on Him. Now, if you're not in peace right now, honestly, with God, you're not putting God in the middle of it. Because here's what I found. When He's in the middle of it, I got peace. When he's not, I'm troubled. So if you're here today and you say, I haven't put God in the middle of it all, but I want to, would you raise your hand? Yeah, just put him right in the middle of it. You're the only one that could do that. Say yes. Here's how I usually gave my altar calls. Jesus has already said yes to you. Will you say yes to him? That's a good altar call. You know why? Because it's the truth. You just said, yes, Lord, I want to follow you. And so I want to pray real quick, prayer with you, because there's something about repenting. What you've really done right there, you said, I haven't been doing it, but I repent. I change directions. How many know change of direction is good? It is. Change of direction is the change of life, but that first starts with your mind. If you think like God, you will live like God. That's how it works. Amen. It's renewing the mind. So if you would, just pray with me. No bowing heads. Not that that doesn't have its place, but just pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I haven't put you in the middle of it all, but I desire to. Lead me and guide me into all truth, because the truth will set me free. I want freedom. I want to walk in your ways. I want to live for you all the days of my life. Lord, protect me. Guide me. Put a shield about me. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But nothing by any means shall harm me, because I put you in the middle of it all. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having me in.